All right, let's all stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Could you quote it? Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. What a text. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You may be seated tonight. I'm going to be preaching by the help of the Lord on the topic of pursuing after holiness. This is a, I guess you would call a proof text of the holiness movement, has been, I suppose, for all the history of the holiness movement. To follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And we say this sometimes, it's holiness or hell. And right here is the scripture where it comes from. It's holiness or hell. That doesn't mean it has to be a holiness denomination. But without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So we see from this passage of scripture that holiness is an absolute necessity for seeing God in peace. In this passage of Scripture, we are taught to pursue after peace with our fellow man. Before he says to follow after holiness, he says, I want you to pursue after peace. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So, as the people of God, this is our duty toward all men, to seek peace and not conflict. In fact, the Bible tells us to be at peace, to dwell at peace with all men, as much as lieth within us. Sometimes I'm telling you that peace is the result of effort. Conflicts arise without any effort. If you just go through life and you don't struggle for peace, conflicts will arise without you trying to come, without you trying to get into conflict. It's just part of human nature to be in conflict. But the Lord tells us that we are to pursue peace with all men. Follow peace after all men. It must be pursued. It's something that we must seek after. Having peace with our fellow man. In fact, the Bible tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. This is a mark of the children of God. They are peacemakers. No child of God should ever have the label of being a troublemaker. Not in the house of God. Not among the people of God. That is foreign to the nature of being a child of God. We're to follow peace with all men. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Hallelujah. And you know, it is important for us to understand that this applies especially to the relationship with our Christian brothers and sisters. Do you remember over in the Old Testament when the land could not contain the flocks of Abraham and Lot? And there came about strife between the herdsmen of Lot and Abraham. Abraham went to Lot and he said, let there be no strife between us. We be brethren. And the scripture makes this note. The Canaanite was then in the land. The reason that the Bible makes that note is, and the reason that Abraham was so concerned was because of the witness that he was bearing to the true and living God. The Canaanite is in the land and brothers are in conflict. And so he said, let there be no strife between me and you. You take whatever you want of this land, and I'll take the rest. Brother, that's the kind of attitude that promotes peace, isn't it? When we put others before ourselves, we put others' happiness before our own. And we had a little lesson tonight for the children. We called it joy. J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, and you last. Brother, that order will keep us at peace with others. You know, the Bible says if a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even his enemies to be at peace with him. You can have peace if you pursue after peace. I'm talking about with your brothers and sisters now. You know that there's a conflict out there in the world. We're enemies to the devil, and the world hates us. And we understand that there's always going to be that tension between the people of God and the people of the world. But inside the body of Jesus Christ, inside the church of Jesus Christ, everybody that belongs to Jesus Christ is our brother and our sister, and we are to pursue after peace. And that is to be the mark of the children of God. They love peace in the body of Jesus Christ. When we fail to do that, you know, the Bible says that we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of what? In the bond of peace. We're to endeavor. We work hard at this. We endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And this is a unity. This is something that the Spirit works on in the body of Christ. Something the Spirit is constantly producing in the body of Christ is the peace of God. You understand that it is impossible to have peace with your brother and sister if you don't have peace in your heart. The peace has got to start on the inside. It's got to be, we've got to settle things with God. We've got to make peace with God. The peace of God's got to dwell inside of us. And whenever that peace inside of us is not inside of us, everybody's going to know it, because we're not going to live at peace with others until we've got peace inside of us. When we've got confidence in our relationship with God, we're living at peace with God, and we're living to please God, and we can have peace with others when we've got the peace of God in us. That is the secret. The reason that nations war. The reason that churches split up. The reason that families split up. The reason that there's conflict in relationships is because of the lack of the peace of God in people's hearts. It is a matter of the heart, brother and sister. This is where the problem lies. It is a matter of the heart. And what God does inside of us, and He puts something inside of us. He puts in us the same love that Jesus has for us. He puts that love in us for other people and makes us to be peacemakers and not troublemakers. Hey, brother, if I'm a troublemaker in the house of God, among the people of God, the Lord says there are six things that the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination unto Him. Who is that seventh one? He said, he that soweth discord among brethren, right? He said that's an abomination to God. Sometimes we don't take very seriously those things that are important to God. You know, we believe that people ought to have, a woman ought to have long hair, ought not to cut her hair. We believe a woman ought to have a dress on, dress on. We think she ought not to wear pants. We think that a woman ought to have sleeves in her dresses, and they ought to be loose enough and long enough and high enough, and we think men ought to have a good haircut, and they think that all of these wonderful things that I believe in, that I'm telling you that there are things in our lives and we must guard against that are far more important than just the exterior standards. And God wants us to be a people who have the peace of God inside of our hearts, and so that we can live peaceably with all men as much as lieth in you. Here is the criteria. Here is the standard. Here's what really makes the difference. As much as lieth in you. See, that's where the victory really comes. As much as lieth in you. It's what's in you, you see, that comes out of you. And God says that He hates, it's an abomination to Him. He that soweth discord among brethren is an abomination to Him. So He says, follow peace with all men. Doesn't He say in another place to live at peace among yourselves? And another place, I believe Peter said that we are to pursue after peace. And so the Bible over and over tells us about the importance of pursuing after peace, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Jesus prayed for us in John chapter 17, and He said, Lord, I want You to make them one as we are one. Why? That the world may believe. Did you know that one of the most fatal things to the witness and testimony of a church is conflict in the body of Christ? One of the most fatal things of the witness of a church, you'd be surprised and amazed how fast news travels about problems in the house of God. And usually, now nobody really needs to know about it, but usually the wrong people find out about it. That's right. And those people that really need help from God get another excuse for not getting help from God. They say, look how those people act up there in the church. No different from us. I guess I've told this many times about Kendall and Kyle fighting out the backyard. I guess that's better than fighting in the front pew of the church. Fighting out in the backyard. Fussing, hollering at one another. Just boys, you know. And so I come out and talk to them. I said, look, boys, we can't do this. We can't act like this. We got neighbors around us that are watching us. And they know that we're supposed to be Christians. All right. And if they hear us up here hollering and screaming at one another, what are they going to think? They're going to say, why, them Christians up on the hill, they ain't no different than we are. They act just like we do. Fuss and quarrel. Ain't no difference in them and us. So I said, boys, we got to have a witness for the Lord. We can't be hollering at one another. Well, it might have worked a few hours. I don't know. But I would tell my children at times, look, I don't want nobody in this house raising their voice against another one. I don't want anybody in this house screaming at somebody else, raising their voice at somebody else. Somebody may be at the door and hear that and say, those people act just like we do. And that's a poor testimony for Jesus. Jesus said, I want them to be one as we are one, that the world may believe, Jesus said. It's worth pursuing after, brother. You know, I've seen people that I've thought love to be in conflict, love to have conflict. And it was, to me, it's always been a problem. If I'm in conflict, oh, that's not joyful to me to be in conflict, especially with somebody that I love. Oh, you know, my wife, if I find out that she's got something against me, and sometimes she does. Y'all ever have that problem, Brother George? Ever have that problem? Oh, wonderful. Sometimes she does get something against me. I tell you what, brother, I done got, over the years, I've had enough experience, I can sense it. I know when something's wrong. Y'all, me and know that? Yeah. I know when something's wrong. I'll tell her, I'll say, Judy, something's wrong. How do you know? I can sense it. I know something ain't right. And it really bothers me. If there's anything between me and her, if there's a conflict there, I may not even know about it, but Brother Garland, it really troubles me. I love that woman. All right. I'm telling you, I love that woman. I tell her sometimes, Judy, I love you so good, I'm going to rent a billboard on 85, and I'm going to put a sign up there and say, Bill loves Judy. She said, you better not. I really love that woman. And it hurts me if there's a problem between us. Brother, it ought to be that way in the house of God. You know, we ought to have such a love for one another that if there's a problem between us, it ought to hurt us. And we'd think in our heart and pray to our God and say, God, I don't want this to be between me and my brother and my sister. They're precious to me. They're important to me. I want this situation to be resolved, and I want to be at peace with the people of God. And that's the kind of attitude that God puts inside of us, and He gives us that kind of love for one another. It's the love of God. We pursue, we follow after peace with all men. You know, we even strive to be at peace with our neighbors, whether they're Christian or not. In fact, we'll take a whole lot. as a Christian, we'll take a whole lot in order to maintain our testimony to our fellow man. Well, I wouldn't think about fighting for a few feet of land with my neighbor when I'm trying to get him saved. Amen. What's that few feet of land? Hey, I ain't going to miss it when I go to heaven. I ain't fighting over a few feet of land with a man that's lost when I'm trying to get him saved. It's ridiculous. And suppose this cow does... Or, I mean, in your case, it's your own cow. But suppose your neighbor's cow gets in your garden, eats your garden up. Are we going to have a fuss over... Well, you know, I know that's a whole lot of labor gone down the drain. And a whole lot of sweat. And sometimes a whole lot of money and fertilizer. And you get to counting up all the hours you spend in that garden. And all you've lost. And the temperature starts rising. And before you know it, you're on the phone. And you're shaking. And you're red in the face. And you're ready to tell him off about that cow that got in your garden. But then you start thinking about that man's soul. He's lost. He needs to be saved. I may be the only hope of that man ever getting to God. And brother, the temperature starts going down. Hallelujah. And you call that man up. And instead of blessing him out, you say, fella, your cow's out and I'll help you put him up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's Christian living. That's Christian living. That's the way Jesus taught us to live. We are Christians, brother and sister. We're not people of the world. We don't act like the people of the world. We don't have the same values as the people of the world. We're supposed to act like Christians. He said, follow peace with all men and holiness. And really, this is part of holiness. Yes. Follow holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Brother, I could preach a long time, and I don't aim to. I know you're tired, wore out. I know a lot of you are tired and wore out. And I could. I'm just getting started. Just got to my text. And follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I want to ask you a question tonight. How much do you value holiness?
Yes.
I want to ask you that question. How much do you value holiness? I'm talking about purity of heart. I'm talking about sanctity of life. Yes. I'm talking about your walk with God. I'm talking about the sanctity of the temple of your heart. How much do you value holiness? What do you allow in your heart? What do you entertain in your soul? In the holiest of holies, in your heart where God dwells. What do you allow there? Do you offend God because you do not value holiness? Do you allow the love of the world to get a grip on your heart? Do you allow greed and envy and jealousy to spring up in your soul? Do you allow the root of bitterness to come up in there and defile the sanctuary where the Holy Ghost lives in us? You see, how much do you value holiness? He said, without holiness, no man shall see God. Oh, brother and sister, we must understand the value of holiness. In verse 1 of this same chapter, he said, talked about that race. What did he say? Wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside what? Every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now here's what I'm telling you tonight. If you don't have holiness, you cannot run a successful race. And here's the way we're going to run a successful race. We're going to get rid of every weight. That doesn't mean necessarily that it's a sin, but it's anything that hinders you in running this race successfully. Hey, it may be something innocent. It may be as innocent as hunting deer. You know? But if it keeps you from your prayer life, and it keeps you from your Bible,
and it occupies your mind and time to where it's robbing you of your victory, that is a weight to you, and it can become sin to you, and you must be aware of anything that weakens your hold on God. Is that right? Sometimes it is the innocent things that do us the most harm in our spiritual life. Things that we would not classify as illegal against the law of God in itself, but innocent things often do the most damage to our soul because we allow other things to creep into our life that become weights to us. What is it in your life that keeps you from the Word of God? What is it in your life that keeps you from your prayer time? What is it in your life that keeps you out of the house of God? You see, it may be something innocent in itself, but if it is replacing God in your life, it is a weight to you. What is it that makes you tired of serving God? What is it that weakens your desire for God? What is it that cools off your fervency for God? Whatever that is, it is a weight to your soul. You need to get rid of it. I don't care how innocent it is. Get rid of it. It's not worth losing your soul over. There are some things that are sin, blatant sin. Other things are weights upon our soul. Then he said, we're to get rid of weights, and we're to get rid of the sin that doth so easily beset us. That is, this sin, the sin, is the sin nature that keeps entangling our feet along the journey. It is the nature that we were born with, that nature of sin. He said, we must get rid of every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us or keeps entangling our feet, keeps tripping us up. You see, in life, when we are serving God, sometimes we become aware that we're not running very well. That there's something hindering us. Something on the inside of us that's hindering us. Something that's keeping us from running a good race. Something that's pulling us in the wrong direction. Something that's inside of us that's attracted to the wrong things. Something inside of us that's always getting us our direction off. Sort of like having a compass, you know. And if you got that compass close to a power line or something, there's an electric field that keeps pulling that compass off. And you're always going the wrong direction because there's something pulling that compass off. That's what that sin nature does. It pulls that compass off. And it hinders us. It keeps tangling us up. So he says, I want you to get rid of every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Have you ever worn weights on your ankle or had a weight on your shoulder and you just wore it around? You know, runners do this, don't they? Put weights on their ankles and they run around with those weights on their ankles. And when they get ready to run the race, they take those weights off of their ankles. You ever tried that? Brother, I'm telling you, you feel like you can fly. I mean, you feel light as a feather. When you've had them weights on, you're ready to run. Brother, that's the way it is. When you get rid of the weights in your life, the spiritual weights in your life, you get rid of that sin by crucifying it on the cross with Jesus Christ, and you're ready to run, brother. God will help us to run a good race. You won't get tired so easily when you get rid of the weights. You hear me? I said you won't get tired so easily. You won't be so discouraged all the time. You won't be so up and down all the time. When you get rid of those things, you can run a successful race for Jesus Christ. It was Paul writing to the Galatian church and said, you did run well. What's hindering you? What's hindering you? Young man, young lady, what's hindering you? Why are we not seeking God to be sanctified, holy people? To be full of the Holy Ghost and fire? To have a greater zeal for the Lord?
Yes.
What's hindering us?
Help us, God.
Cell phones. Internet, games on the computer. We ain't got no televisions. I mean, I hope we don't. Is it
rod and reel, fish and stream. Did I get that right? Field and Stream, something like that. Sports Illustrated. Is that what's hindering us? What's got our attention? What keeps us? The Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Here's what God wants. Is somebody hungry and thirsty? He said, if I can find somebody like that, I'll fill them up with my righteousness. God wants us to have a heart for holiness, a passion for purity, a desire to be holy, to be sanctified, to be pleasing to God in our thoughts, in our attitudes, in our actions, in our dress, in our direction. God wants us to be pleasing to Him. Do we have a passion for purity? Do we have a hunger for holiness? I'm going to quit tonight. Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano. The Bible tells us concerning the coming of the Lord in 1 John chapter 3. He said, every man that hath this hope, that is the hope of the return of Jesus Christ, every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as he is pure. You know, let me say this to you, and I know there's all kind of ideas and beliefs about sanctification. But I want you to understand something. When you can testify, when you can get up and say, the Lord has sanctified me, my heart is clean, my heart is pure. Not only are my sins forgiven, but that old man is crucified. My heart is clean. My heart is pure. When you can get up and testify to that fact, that God has done that in your heart and in your life, the only way that you're going to be able to keep testifying to that is to keep pursuing after that. For the Bible tells us to follow after holiness. So not only can we point back to a place where God did a definite work in my heart and in my life, but it's something we have to be working on every day of our life, pursuing after the holiness of God. Whenever you lose the desire for it, you're going to lose it. You've got to have a passion for purity, a hunger after holiness. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. I want us to stand together tonight. I don't know what you're thinking. You might think, well, that's just an old Bill Prescott again, meddling like he always does. Brother, if I can help you, sister, if I can help you to make a successful run, that's what we're after. And I know in order to make a successful run, we got to get rid of the things that are hindering us in our race. Get rid of the weights. Get rid of that sin that doth so easily beset us, entangles our feet, trips us up. And we can make a successful run. How are you running tonight? Are you making progress? Are you tired of the journey? Is there something holding you down, holding you back? It's time to get rid of it so we can get a fresh wind, as it were, and run this race with patience. We're almost to the end. Not going to be long. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Altars are open if you feel a need for God this night. Come and let's seek the Lord together. If you need to be saved, God will save you. If you need to be sanctified, He will sanctify you. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. If you need help with problems in your life, He's the problem solver. Jesus is the one that we go to as our counselor, our helper. Time of need, let's gather around these altars. Seek God for the blessings that we need in our life.
Draw me near. Oh, Heartaches, broken pieces.